Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Hollywood Red Carpet Radio Show. And I am Debbie Perkins, I'm your host, and I have an amazing guest this evening. He is an actor, he is a martial arts expert sensei, he has his own place called Zwit. You're going to have to correct me on that. And his name is Alex Zwit. Welcome to the show, Alex. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Debbie. Thank you for having me on your show. It's always a pleasure to be on your show. I thoroughly enjoy myself every time I'm asked to come on. How are you doing?
I love having you on my show. You're inspirational to a lot of people, and I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing wonderful, so thank you for that.
Good to hear.
I know. Good to hear. It's crazy. A lot of stuff's happening, and even though this covert thing is doing its up and down, to be honest, a lot of things are coming about for everybody. If I'm noticing that a lot of the people in the entertainment industry are waking up. They've had their time off. They don't want any more.
Yes, that's true. I agree. They're waking up, and with the new norm and taking precautions while doing that, things are different on set, you know, and they're limiting the amount of people that they do have on set. And I think it's the right thing to do.
I was wondering about that, Alex, because of COVID. Now, I know you probably have to wear masks at particular times on the set. Do you have to take them off and do the 6 feet apart from someone just to be on the safe side?
Yeah, a lot of sets have you wear a mask, and then they have you wear a plastic shield too. And then prior to getting cast, like there's this new show coming out, Law and Order Organized Crime, Christopher Maloney, and I'm going to be playing a typical mafia gangster type. And,
that's so cool.
That's been, yeah, it's pretty cool.
You're good at that, too. I've seen you, and I've watched a lot of your reels, and I've seen you be Russian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've seen you act like a tough guy.
Yeah, that seems to be my specialty, and you know, and I enjoy playing those roles, all the roles. I mean, last month I had auditioned for a commercial to sell Medicare insurance, so I can feel good that I can go from being a gangster to selling medical insurance. So I'm pleased that I have some range, and so with the different TV shows and movies, you have to go get a COVID test before, and then when you get on set. Oh, yeah, they test you, and a lot of them have you wear a mask and a shield, and you're 6 feet apart, and you're not really, like, on set. There's a room that's called holding where people hang out and wait to go to set. Well, it's a bit different now. They have a room where you're 6 feet apart. You can't really pull your mask down unless you're ready to shoot. And as far as crafty and stuff like that, where you go and eat, that's altogether different now, too. I mean, we used to have, you'd have jars with peanuts and gummy bear and all sorts of stuff, and then just grab
something
that
people
stuff,
could just touch with their hands and, you know, and
eat like a donut. And I understand that. So they give you stuff in a bag or whatever, and so it's just different. You just have to be careful and safe, and I agree with that. And if you're on a show, a lot of times you get tested 3 times a week. You get tested, you get your temperature tested. So it's a lot different, but, it's the way to go. I mean, it's how it is, and this is what we do.
Well, you do it if you want that job.
That's
if
correct.
You enjoy your job,
people,
you do it.
Yeah. Some people don't want it. Deal with that, don't want to do it. Some people have worked on shows and say, well, I don't want to go back right now. I'd rather wait till maybe they get a vaccine or wait till after the new year. And you respect that. And doesn't mean that they're not into it. They just feel better about waiting. And a lot of this, well, a few things that I'm involved in have been pushed to 2021, the spring of 2021. This movie about Sonny Liston that I got cast in is the spring of 2021, which is fine. And it gives us more time and the medical people to do what they do and try to come up with something that can control this nightmare. Yeah.
Yeah. That's something. That's so different. But you know what? I think that if that's what they're doing to keep people safe, then they're doing what is important for their cast members and basically means that they care about you and whether or not, you know, that's the last thing they want is to have something, you know, spread amongst their cast members. I mean, they value you, folks. And without you, that show wouldn't be what it is today. I mean, I just heard that you got another season. You opened up and was agreed on for another season.
Yeah, Blue Bloods got picked up for season 11. And
that's incredible.
Yeah, that's a blessing. It takes a lot of hard work and dedication from a lot of talented and good people. They're down there working, and they're being safe. I talked with the casting director about the different measures that are in play and what they're doing. So they're going to keep me in the loop and update me on what's going on. And when they need me, they will give me a call. And so whatever they decide to do, you have to remember you can't have as many people on set as they used to, okay, because the sets are really small. And, you know, when we work, a lot of times we're on top of one another. And safety is a priority. You know, everybody's safety, from Tom Selleck to Donnie Wahlberg to myself and the other cast members to the person who is doing crafty and the person who does lighting. So whatever they suggest and want to do, I just go along with it. You know, I'm part of the team. I've been part of the family since the first season, and I'm grateful for that. So whatever they ask me to do, I'm all aboard. And then
I think you should be. I think you love doing that show. I mean, it's so obvious. It's so obvious that you love being on that show.
I love being on that show, and I love working with the people that are on that show a number of times. It's like a family. And I talk to some of the cast members on the phone or text or message, and we check in on each other and we see how we're doing. And we support each other. One of my friends that's on the show is a lovely gentleman. His name is Norm. He has from his basement in this home called Irv's Lounge. And while this is going on, he created this and he named it after his grandfather. And he has people log in. And I'll tell you more about it and I'll send you a link. And he sings songs from Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin. And people go there, and then they have
another
gentleman. Yeah, Tommy Bayocos. He was the drummer for Laura Branigan, and he went out with her for a while, and he's on there. So what we've done, myself and these other people, have created another form of artistic thing to do. And it helps people because, you know, we're all worried about what's going on and so on and so forth. So for about an hour, you get to take your mind off of stuff. And so he does that. Other people are doing different things while they're shooting, be it Blue Bloods or whatever show they're doing. We're still creating and doing stuff and making sure that we stay active. And I mean, there's no stopping. I mean, Tuesday, there's this new show filming in New Jersey called The Equalizer. And it's going to have Queen Latifah as the main character. and I was asked to audition again for an Eastern European gangster, which is great, but what's different is I don't go to the city to audition. I do a self-tape, and I send it to my agent, and they send it to the casting director, and I wait to hear back. So things are happening, but safety first. And sometimes there's delays. Sometimes, hey, you know, sometimes on these sets, maybe someone has the virus and they have to shut down production for a while. I mean, I don't know, but you just have to be aware of everything and just make sure that everybody's safe. That's the main thing.
I wonder if some of the shows will start integrating the masks as part of the show. Only because it is what's happening. That is reality. So if they did that, they'd probably have more people on set.
I wondered about that, but from what I hear, they haven't. So I guess you have to keep your mask on, and you have a shield, plastic shield. Some places just have masks, and then when you shoot, you take the mask off. Going to be a lot of social distancing, and so it's different. So we mentioned earlier, some people just, they're like, look, that's all well and good, and I respect that. I prefer to wait till I feel, or the person, whoever it is, better to go back. Remember too, it's like a lot of these people have to commute and take mass transit, the train and subway and so on and so forth. So they ask themselves, is it worth it? Maybe I'll just wait. Myself, yeah, I've taken the train, I've taken the subway, but it's a lot easier for me just to jump in my car and go. So I'm in and out of there. But whoever, whatever way they want to go about it, you know, you got to respect their decisions. I mean, who knows? I mean, they can have an elderly parent at home, right, and go and contract the virus. And as we know, the elderly people can catch it quick, and then, you know, really, you can lose them. So you gotta really weigh things out going anywhere. It's going to be here. I mean, if you look at sports, I mean, look at the NFL. I mean, they're rescheduling games left and right. I mean, there's a game that was supposed to be on Sunday, then they moved it to Tuesday. Then there's a game that was supposed to be in the afternoon, they move it to another day. So every day, and I told my students this, this is like a twist and turn. So you just have to go along with it, stay positive, be safe, do the right thing, and just got to go with it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree with you. You know, and we don't know what's going to happen from next, to be honest. It's all.
We don't know what's going to happen.
It's all speculation.
They might come up with a virus.
Point. Yeah, and even if they, I mean, I always worry about like having more immunizations than we need. But but you know, I have to say that I think there are less people dying, and I'm just grateful for that. You know?
I am very grateful for that. I mean, I would sit home and watch the news and hear 970 some people would die in one day in New York. And
isn't
next
that
day,
crazy?
600 and some. I, they would have wooden caskets put in Central Park. People that I knew and passed away from it. People that I would cross paths with at auditions would have got it and passed away. You know, it's not something that you really bluff off. I mean, you know, when's the last time you heard day after day, you know, 600, 700, 900 something people dying in one city? Now, not only in New York, but across the country and across the world. So, you know, you got to really take this serious. And we practice that also with the martial arts. We social distance. I do the classes online through Zoom, which it's very convenient for everyone. And then
they're enjoying it, too. I've seen
the
pictures. They do seem to enjoy it. So adapting has been a really good thing because you thank God that you can, you know, that you have the ability to be able to do live. And it looks like you're doing groups.
I'm doing groups. The thing is Debbie, too, is like once I start online, see, we have this fitness defense kickboxing class, and it's Saturday mornings, 9 to 10, Monday and Wednesday, 9 to 10, and early morning on Tuesday, Thursday, 6 to 7. And we have people that are martial arts students that train at the school, like this gentleman, Michael, and his lovely wife, Terry, and Leonda, and other people. But I also have people that are one woman from California, another woman from Michigan, gentlemen from Pennsylvania. So I can reach out to more people throughout the country. And somebody asked me about the class for their daughter who lives in Malaysia. So what I didn't think was going to, you know, I never thought I'd be teaching classes on Zoom has worked out. I can reach out to more people like that. And
it's
working great.
I love that.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
It's awesome.
And it must feel good to you. It must feel really good to.
It feels really great. It feels really great that I can reach out to these people and help them not only improve in their health, but help them feel good about themselves mentally, especially now going through what we're all going through. When we go online and we see each other, it's really uplifting because you really don't see a lot of people now like you did before, okay? You can talk on the phone, but you can't get together. And if you do, you got to wear a mask. You got to be 6 feet apart.
Yes.
Even when we do classes outside, you know, I put pads on the floor to make sure the kids stay 6 feet apart. And then when we do our drills, and they enjoy really seeing each other. And then we have adults that do the class too. So making it work with the way it's supposed to be safe. And we're doing it online and we're doing it outside. People are going for their next belt. People are improving in their health. I'm not the type that's going to sit here and say, well, you know, let's just wait till everything is over. No, we're going to keep doing it. But we're going to be mindful of what's going on, and we're going to be careful, and we're going to do what is asked of us to do and continue to move forward. We're not going to move backwards. We're going to move forward, but we're not going to be ignorant and ignore what is going on. I mean, I Purell my hand. I mean, look, when I go get gas, I put a mask on and I put rubber gloves on. I don't care if the person at the other right next to me is doing it without the gloves. I don't care. That's their prerogative. I want to put gloves on, and then when I pump the gas, I take the plastic gloves off, I throw them in the trash, and I Purell my hands. That's how I feel. Someone else, you feel like, well, you know, I'll just – that's fine. So I do, and I believe majority of the people do what they feel is safe. Now, if you don't want to wear a mask, that's your business. But if you're going to be around me, you're going to wear a mask. Don't get close
to
me.
You know, because, I mean, you're doing a lot of testing as it is to go to work. I don't know if you're doing one-on-one in your studio. Then again, you need to stay protected. And to clean it, how many times can you clean your studio, to be honest?
Yeah, you can't clean it. Yeah. I mean,
and people, what you do, they sweat. They have, you know, body fluids that get activated because you're pumping your heart more. You're active.
Yeah.
You're, you know. So I totally understand that. And you're protecting yourself foremost. And there's nothing wrong with that. I have a question.
No.
How is your little Maggie doing?
Oh, Maggie's doing wonderful.
You know, I couldn't get you out of this invitation to the show without asking about Miss Maggie.
Miss Maggie is wonderful. She is my sweetheart,
awesome.
And I love her.
She's
dearly.
Awesome. You know, yeah. You have such a natural relationship when you take pictures with your dog, and that's what we're talking about, everybody.
Miss Meg is his pet, Hawaii.
She's incredible, beautiful dog. Well, now, is she a yellow lab or is she, what is she? What is her breed?
She's a golden retriever.
Oh, no wonder she's so pretty. Great face on that dog. But when you're in a picture with her, it's just so, such an, and she's smiling with you. It's like you're both smiling.
Yeah.
And you can see it in the picture, and it's like, oh, I love that so much. Because you love animals. You love animals.
I love animals. Yes, I love animals. They have feelings, too. You know, an animal can feel pain and sadness and happiness just like a human being. And
that's very true.
And when I see, you know, people that their pets have passed away, it's very difficult, and I feel really heartbroken for them because all they do is give you unconditional love. And and pets have been there for you or been there with you, a lot of them, during their most time, be it whatever you're going through, be it a death or a relationship or work or whatever, they're there for you, and they're very smart, and they can sense that, and they'll come up to you and be either cuddle with you or kiss you and kind of like tell you, it's okay, I'm here, so lean on me. So
they are used for so many things too. You know what I mean?
Well, this is true.
They have been known to tell when someone has an epileptic seizure before they even have one.
I've seen those videos.
Isn't that something?
I've seen those videos. It's amazing. They have the dogs in the hospital to make the kids and the adults feel better. Think about this. When someone is blind, they have a dog, a canine. They're trusting a canine to make sure they go the right way. What does that tell you? That's how smart and amazing they are. Okay?
Wow.
They have service dogs. Okay? They use dogs as in law enforcement and in the military. And if you're a cat lover, you know, people that love cats, hey, look, they're wonderful too. I had a cat when I was a little boy, but I'm around more dogs.
Yeah,
Maggie especially.
Maggie's. You can take your dog for a walk. You can't take your cat for a walk.
Right.
They're totally different animals. Trust me. I have three dogs, and.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of cats, and the cats are great for keeping the barn clean of rodents.
Yeah.
Which, God, I hate those things. I mean, I saw them laying around the yard, and I'm like, oh no, I don't even want to touch them. But still, you got to throw them in the woods. But then the dogs are the best alarm for any house. You know someone's at your door. You know someone's at your house.
Oh, they're amazing.
Yeah.
The best.
But I had to bring that up. I love your dog so much. She's so beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. When I walk in the door and the tail is waggling and I bend over and she's like licking my face all over the place and grabs her little toy and jumps on the couch and I go over and I cuddle with her and then she cuddles with me. There's nothing better than that.
Nope.
It's the best
feeling
in the world. So.
You are her best friend.
Thank you. Thanks
That's
for
adorable.
Bringing her up. Thank you.
You know, I love seeing pictures of you with that dog. She's, for one, she's beautiful. How did, you know what,
Thanks.
I know this is off the beaten path, but how did you get that dog? Just
the story
out of the blue one day?
That's my dog, but that's really, the thing is, that's my sister's. My sister lives a town over from me, and they have Maggie, okay? And the thing is that, and they have my niece and her husband. So what was going on, my sister would go to work, and her husband would go to work, and my niece would go to school. So I didn't want Maggie to be sitting home all by herself. So I would drive to pick her up every day and come and stay with me, okay? And then when my mother was alive, she enjoyed seeing her too. So I didn't feel right having her be left at home by herself, even though my sister's husband would come home and let her out. So I would spend time with her. I'd pick her up in the morning, bring her back before class, and bring her back. Now my sister works from home majority of the time, but I still go over there and then see her and sometimes bring her over here. So my thing is, like, I didn't want her to be by herself and sit there by herself where she'd like to be with me and have a companion. And I enjoyed it too. So we were there for each other and still are. So that's how the story is with Maggie.
A lot of people think she lives
with me, but no, she's at my sister's place.
That's hilarious. She's your best friend.
Majority of the time, I mean, if I was home and classes are not till the evening and I wasn't working on set, well, heck, I'd go pick her up, and she enjoyed coming with me and staying here till, what, 3, 3.30, whatever, and then I would bring her home, and we would have a blast, and we would go to the park and walk and hang out, and then she would come back inside and then lay on the sofa, lay on the floor, and we would play and hang out. So I'm kind of like a softie when it comes to that. I didn't want
that's
to be by
right.
herself.
That's all so right. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, I mean, dogs' lives, unfortunately, are, you wish they were long, but they're not. So I don't want to look back someday and say, I didn't spend as much time as I could with her. It's just like a person. A person doesn't, who wants to be lonely, you know, and dogs don't want to be lonely either. So
right.
I don't want her to be lonely. And also, too, you know, she was there for me too, during a lot of difficult times. Well, not a lot of difficult. I can't say I had a lot of difficult times.
But different times when you're going through stuff. Yeah.
When you're going through different things, they're there for you. Yeah. So that's
I get
the
it.
Story.
And that's awesome.
Thanks.
I love that. Love Maggie's story. Maggie's great.
She's a sweetie.
We love Maggie.
Little sweetie.
Oh my gosh. But now you've got a really amazing photographer doing some pictures of you. And whoever he is, he's doing an exceptional job.
Bird.
Good. Yeah.
Jason Bird is a professional photographer. He had a studio in the city in Stamford, Connecticut. He's shot tons of people, rock stars. He was on the road with Bob Dylan. He shot Paul Newman, and he shot Charles Keating and, you know, Lauren Hutton models in New York. And I met him when I was taking some acting classes from this woman, Lisa Lelis, who's a very nice lady, and she had a workshop every Saturday for like 6 weeks. I would go and learn the do's and don'ts. And then she had Jason come in and talk about photography and what you have to do and what you need to do as far as like taking photos, so on and so forth. And then we met and we hit it off and then we became friends. And we've been friends ever since. And we've done a lot of cool stuff together. And Jason is the gentleman that introduced me to Neil Smith, the original drummer from Alice Cooper. And then we've hit it off.
Oh, my gosh. For real. You've been friends with – I noticed that, too. You have – you've been – well, for years. It looks like you go back for years.
Yeah, it's
– you're kind of young when you first met – was it Paul Simon?
Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons?
Yeah, Paul Stanley from KISS, right?
Yeah. You could see through the years how, you know, as a younger and a little bit, you know. So I've known them for, like, years. And I first met them on tour. And then what happened is – this woman that lived in Connecticut actually moved out to Los Angeles and started working for them. And then when they did the Unplugged tour, when they would go, when MTV had Unplugged, and a lot of bands were going to smaller venues doing Unplugged. And then I would go with the girl, Michelle. And I mean, we weren't going out. We were just friends. And then I started doing some stuff with Gene and Paul, had different assignments, so to speak. And, you know, one was like after the show, they do the meet and greet, and fans would give Gene stuff, and then he would give them to me, and I would put them in the plastic bag for him, and then and just make sure the fans wouldn't, like, topple them over and stuff. And then I had other things that I had to be responsible for. But then I would run into them. You know, Paul does paintings and stuff, and he would have an art show in, at a gallery in New Jersey, and it was really cool. I brought my son one time, and he asked my son, so what do you do? He's like, well, I play in a band. And Paul said, can I play in your band? So.
Oh, wow. That is so cool.
Yeah, no,
he must have been on top of the world.
Oh, well, yeah. Our family asked you if you can play in your
band.
I know,
right? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But
that's
we would talk about different
gets.
Things. And we would talk about, because he knows that I teach the martial arts and stuff and about believing in yourself and perseverance and not giving up. And he's all about that. And then he put out this solo album called Live to Win. And then that's when he told me, you know, Alex, that Chief, and you may not achieve it, but you know you went about it the right way, and you may not have gotten it. You still know you won because you did it your way, okay? And so we would get deep conversations about stuff like that. And Gene was always very nice. And then with Neo, I mean, it's like when we get together, Jason, I, and Neil, and this other fella, AJ, who has on a morning radio talk show, actually the number one rock and roll radio talk show in Connecticut, AJ, he's a super nice guy. And we get together, well, we used to, but we haven't since, and we talk about stuff. And the story Neil would tell about The Who, you know, Roger Daltrey, Peter Townsend, Keith Moon, the Rolling Stones with, you know, Mick Jagger, of course, and Ronnie Wood. And, you know, when Ron Wood would be in the States, he would stay with Neo. And when Neo would go to overseas, England, he would stay with Ronnie at that time. Yeah, it's really, like, really fascinating. A lot of interesting stories and stuff like that. That I've met and know people are and friends with. You know, I really don't take a picture and Photoshop myself next to Alice Cooper or somebody else. And Neil has introduced me to Alice. And
that's so cool.
How
many people you know would love to meet Alice Cooper, because Alice Cooper is a one of a kind. There's nobody like him. There'll never be anybody like him again. And when we grew up, he was doing things on stage that was unheard of, for one. For two, would never be done again. Never.
That's never going to be done. Where do you think a lot of these bands, Kiss and Kiss, Motley Crue, even Elton John. Elton John, was in L.A., and he was watching Alice play. And then this is before Elton became really big. He went over to Alice, and Neil was there too, and said, I see you have the formula, meaning the theatrics and the bombastic, the whole thing. And, you know, that kind of like propelled Elton in a way too. So,
you know what?
And
he was very theatrical at the end of it too. Well, in the middle, and I think probably about my teenage years, he started becoming more with the big glasses and the funny hats but he had a Liberace thing going on with the jacket.
Yeah, that was his thing, you know, and so I mean he did his thing with the piano and stuff, and you know, he's a he's a well-known, you know, iconic artist himself. So, you know, everybody kind of like, you know, I think like Kiss and Motley Crue and even Guns N' Roses. I mean, you look at Alice Cooper. I mean, you know, people would look at them and say, "What the heck is that?" You know. But
how did you end up not being in music?
I used to sing in a band when I was younger.
Oh, you did?
You have a really good voice, though. Well, thank you. I sang in a band, and we had two guitar players, a bass player, and a drummer. And the name of the band was called Z-Wack. Kind of like...
Oh, no kidding.
no kidding.
Wonder where you got that name from.
Yeah. Well, it was just the same idea as, like, you know, rest in peace, Eddie Van Halen, Bon Jovi, you know, Dio, Ronnie James Dio. So that was the kind of like idea. And we were really good, and we had a lot of fun, and we would play a lot of clubs in Connecticut in different areas. And then we would have our own songs that they would play on this local college radio station. And it was great. And sometimes being in a band, some people leave, some people come. And then near the end, it was just that some of the guys wanted to go in one musical direction and some wanted to go in another musical direction. And sometimes some people in the band don't feel like they're getting enough notoriety. So we just decided to go our separate ways. I still talk to a few of the guys. No hard feelings. I was always training in the martial arts during that time. But I continued to go in artistic area as far as martial arts is artistic, but into the acting area. So,
it is art. It's just a different form.
Yeah, it is art.
And that's not saying that you can't relive and have a reunion one day and actually enjoy playing together, because basically it's your friends. You're all friends.
Anything can happen. You can't rule it out.
You never know. You never know.
Would I want to do it on a regular basis? I really don't have the time to do it on a regular basis, because I have the martial arts and then I do the others, you know, the acting and stuff like that, which is really, even though this virus is happening, I'm really busy with that, which I'm grateful, and I feel really blessed that I am. So there's no complaints on this end. I'm not complaining. You know, if someone...
No, you're doing wonderful. And
I really have to say, the people that are, the people call them following or fans that appreciate and like what I do, I really appreciate and love them all. I really have to say that, because I know a lot of them are listening to the show. And they're not only so-called fans, but they're friends. They're friends, and I try as much as I can to respond to every comment that they make, because I feel like they took the time to show their appreciation for me. I can take the time to, and if they're listening, I want to just let them know that I'm really grateful to all of them. I thank them all, and I love them, and I'm always there for them. I mean, some of them send me a message. I mean, I can't be on Facebook all day. I can't be carrying conversations on Messenger all day, because I got things I got to do.
Absolutely.
If they reach out to me for something, I'll respond back. But sometimes they think I can, some of them,
they
think
do.
I can just chat all, like, chat all day.
I just had that happen to me. I literally, before the show started, I just had somebody impatiently want me to communicate with them. I couldn't do it. I explained to them, I'm sorry, I'm busy. I'll talk to you later. And they couldn't have it. So I just said, you know what? I don't need this. And that's the end of that. But to be honest, we're living in a new age. But when we were growing up, these young people don't understand. When we grew up, we had to wait in line for a phone.
We had to race somebody
else for that phone when it rang, because it was one phone. her house.
That's
and
right.
I don't know who I was talking to the other day, but I was talking about how long was the cord on your mother's phone from her, from the receipt? And how bad was it twist after, you know, you walked around with the phone? Because a lot of people don't sit still with the phone.
No, you walk around with the phone and get all twisted up. Sometimes the cord would come out of the phone. The end, the part that stuck into the phone
so
would
funny.
Come out.
Well, then
and
it would
like,
spin
what?
Backwards. I always wondered how that happened. How did that happen?
Yeah, and then you have to hang the phone upside down and have the wires, the cord spin around and make sure that it's straightened out again.
Oh, so funny. But
yeah,
that's when you had to wait.
I've had that too,
I've
had that
call.
Where people have messaged me and they're like, how's it going? And I'm like, it's going good, thank you. How are you? Good. And then they want to talk. And then I'm like, well, I got to get going. Oh, it seems like you don't want to talk. Well, okay, you're really
dropped.
So guess what? You're blocked. You're blocked because I really, you know, but majority of the people are like, okay, you know, I'm sorry to bother you. No, you're not bothering me. It's just that I have certain time. I have classes in the morning.
Right.
And then after that, I have other things to do like everybody else. But, you know, I don't ignore them. And I respond to them, and look, they're all nice folks, and they follow what I do, and I appreciate it. I mean,
for the most part,
complaining about that.
There are some weirdos out there, though. But you know, just
be careful. Once you get that red flag, I just block them. So there's some kooky dukes out there. I call them kooky dukes. I just block them because I don't have time for that nonsense. I don't have time for nonsense.
You
don't want to deal with nonsense. You know,
and you're not
nonsense
guy anyway.
No, I am not a I don't play like
that.
I don't need it. I got things going on. I like posting stuff to keep it positive. I'm not, you know.
That's why I like you, because you're always positive no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what anybody, you know, no matter what's going on. You always come across being very positive, and God loves you for your morning Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, yeah, my Dunkin' Dodos. I got to have that in the morning.
I love it.
I'm sorry.
You inspire me.
But once they screwed up my order a few times, I started calling them Dunkin' Dodos because it's like, no, I didn't ask for that. I asked for this. So I came up with Dunkin' Dodos. So, I like my Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
Too funny. Too cute. That's too funny. Thanks. You got to love it.
Yeah.
No.
It's good.
So now that you've been in the acting world for a while, who actually inspires you?
Inspired me as far as like an actor?
Well, we'll start with an actor and then we can go to somebody through martial arts, because I know you have a very special person in the martial arts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as far as like acting goes, I always admired Al Pacino. Yeah. People think I'm going to, you know, go to a martial art guy. But, you know, Marlon Brando.
Oh,
like
really? You like the old school guys. Those are the old schoolers. I loved watching all those movies. Godfather. I could watch
Godfather,
that again.
Classic.
I could watch that again.
You know.
Yeah.
Viggo Mortensen in The Equalizer, Eastern Promise. Viggo Mortensen, I like. I mean, people like that.
Did you like action films yourself? If you're home and you say, you know, you don't have to do work, you're not working, it's night or whatever, you're relaxing,
yeah,
and you're not teaching a class. Do you enjoy, what kind of movies do you actually gravitate to?
I like action movies. I mean, there's not many good action movies out there that have been, except for I feel like John Wick is you know, stands on its own.
Yeah.
But you know, John Wick, I enjoyed. I mean, I worked on it, and then
I read that. I was really surprised.
Yeah.
I didn't know that you were a part of the John Wick. It's like a trilogy, isn't it? Kind of like.
Yeah, they're going to come out
the
with
second,
the fourth.
Yeah, they're coming out with a. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But I like those feel good movies. You know what I mean? I like the comedy stuff like that.
Cool.
Some people are into sci-fi or horror. I'm not really into that. So I like a feel-good story with a nice ending, kind of a softy like that.
I do like the action movies.
Sometimes the action movies can get a little bit ridiculous and they're not like realistic. So when you get punched in the face 50 times and you're still standing there, you know, my instructor always used to say 1, 2, 3, finish. So I mean, like, you know, you got like 10 knife holes in your back and you're still fighting. So I mean, I don't know, something's wrong with this picture. So
that's great.
To each his own. You know.
That's awesome. Oh, you kill me.
Yeah.
Oh, funny. You should have been a comedian.
Yeah.
You so totally.
I'm kind of a
funny
guy, you know.
You are a wicked funny guy.
Don't let that tough guy, you know, gangster role stuff fool you. You know, I'm a funny guy. Just ask my friends on set. You know, I'm just a comedian. I go from one room to the other, and I say, I just come back here to make sure you feel my energy. Okay.
That's part of who you are. You like people to be happy around you.
I am. I mean, you don't have a kid in me in heart. I have a great time with the kids. You seen the video of me dancing with the little girl?
I did.
You know, you saw me dancing.
That was adorable. Oh my god.
We have a ball.
I was like, look at him go. You have some rhythm.
Oh yeah, what do you think? I get my groove on. Ask the people in the morning fitness kickboxing class. I get my groove on. Oh yeah, I entertain them too. They're great.
Working with kids
and
keeping you young is what it's doing, Alex. You're working with so many youthful people, and that must make you feel really good that because you're helping them, you're basically like. Counselor, caretaker, you're a combination of everything, but yet you teach them discipline. I bet you make the parent's job easier because when a child knows discipline from something like martial arts, they tend to grow up to be much better behaved children than the average child that missed out on something like an extracurricular.
I agree. I mean, some of the kids come. All the kids that train at the school are like really all good, sweet kids. But some of them lack the discipline and self-control and lack of focus. And sometimes they tend to be lazy. And I feel what I do is to tell them that you can do better than that, and you're better than that. And if you just do enough to get by, then that's how you're going to be in everything you do. But if you try your best and you maybe didn't win the game and you got a C on your test or a 75, then, okay, see why you got 75, but all you could do is try your best. So some of these kids, a lot of to be told, no is no, yes is yes, don't do that. That's not the way to do it, and instill the discipline in them, but you don't have to scare them when you do that. You just tell them. I mean, you know, and I know they say, well, it's a different time. Now, I get it. It's a different time, but I turned out pretty good, and a lot of the people that were disciplined the right way were turned out. Don't tell me, you know, I know more than you. I'll tell you. Now, all I'm telling you, I'm trying to help you, okay? Listen, pay attention. Why you're not able to do it? Because you're not listening and paying attention. I'm showing it to you and I'm explaining it to you, and you're looking and your mind is wandering someplace else. So if that's happening at the martial, with the martial arts, that can very well be happening at the school and when they're in school and stuff like that. So, and then when they're playing sports, if you're not listening and paying attention to what play, say the quarterback or the coach or the manager or whoever wants you to do, and you keep messing up, then you're not going to play. So everybody makes mistakes, but focus, concentrate, and believe in yourself, and don't overthink. Like, I have a student that's going for her black belt. She is very good, but what happens is she doesn't allow her body to do what it's naturally used to doing because she's overthinking it, and she's overanalyzing and paralyzing her body, not like freezing it up to do what it's supposed to do, that it's used to doing, naturally doing. So just do it. Don't overthink it. And then she would just do it. And then a lot of it has to do with, you know, being confident in yourself and saying that I can do it and I'm going to give it all I have. So, but the kids are all sweet and nice, but if they step out of line, like, and when we're training outside, if they're running around all over the field, I'm like, I'm not having none of that. Okay.
No.
You can take a break and practice self-control. Self-control is part of the martial arts too. Controlling your emotions. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Perseverance, never giving up, integrity, courtesy, modesty, all these things. So you can't just do it when you're in front of me. You have to try to do that all the time. And when you do that, I feel, I told the kids today, when you're more polite and respectful to people, you're going to get a lot, go further in life because people are going to want to help you.
They're going to want to be around you, yeah. Absolutely.
I don't want to be around someone
mm-hmm.
who's a jerk.
No.
Not polite, respectful. I don't want to be that. And that's why you'll have more friends, and you'll have the right kind of friends. And then you know right from wrong. If you see someone doing something wrong and they want you to do it, you don't have to do it. You shouldn't do it. You're a leader. You're not a follower. You mean to tell me someone's going to get in your head and make you do something that your parents told you not to do, and I told you that you shouldn't do? So they become very confident in themselves, and it helps them achieve their goals. It's more than just throwing a kick and throwing a punch. So, and that goes
awesome.
For the adults too. There's a lot, some adults battle, and even kids, anxiety, depression. And, you know, when you can help them and make them feel better about themselves, and the parents come and thank you, and an adult comes and thank you personally, that's what it's all about. You can have as many certificates and plaques and awards, but when a parent or a grown adult comes and says, thank you for helping me, I feel much better about myself, and I thought I never can do this, and you've given me the confidence to achieve my goals, that's what it's all about. You know, some of these cats are, you know, traveling all over the country to get a certificate from somebody that nobody knows. Who cares? Nobody cares. Left and right. I'm more focused on the development of my students and impacting them in a positive way. Do I need another certificate? Do I need another plaque?
Right.
I'm confident in myself and what I know. And a lot of my friends and instructors from here in Connecticut, and there's a lot of them in New York and all over the country and up in Rhode Island and Massachusetts that are excellent instructors. And they are out there teaching their students and teaching them, you know, the martial arts and how to defend themselves and helping people get in shape and feeling confident in them. And it's not just me. But I have to say, you know, the people that I know, majority of them are doing the same thing. And, yeah, I have certificates and plaques and awards. And, yeah, I look at them, and it's nice. And it's nice that you are being recognized for that. But it's more when you know you've impacted someone in a positive way. And some of these award stuff is all BS too, you know.
Yeah, I like that you think like that.
It's all a big money.
You know, in life,
when's the last time,
in life, we
when's
all
the last
always
time
told
to be in the Hall of Fame, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll never be
you
there.
Don't pay
I probably never
the
even go
fame.
Down the Hall of Fame.
Well,
you know, I don't even know if it's a real
we'll
hall.
Time.
We should. We should totally do that.
It's like people that are pay to have an agent. You don't pay to be with a modeling agency. They get a cut once you book a job. So
yep.
Some people don't know that. And they're ripping people off left and right. We'll get you this gig, but you got to pay me so much money at first.
Yeah,
look,
that's crazy.
If you hear that, just run for the hills.
We got a couple minutes left to the hour. And yeah. I was just wanting to ask you where people can get a hold of you and the show and the time and so that nobody misses an episode.
Well, people can get a hold of me on Facebook, Alex Zwack. You can friend me on Facebook and on Instagram, Alex, the little line on the bottom, Zwack. And you can follow me there. I put a lot of stuff up about the martial arts and the acting and different things that we're doing. And I also talk about different projects that's going on. As far as like Blue Bloods, it comes on Friday night, 10 o'clock on CBS. And I think maybe the first episode will probably be airing in November. Quite sure. But
that would be cool. I can't wait to see the first one. Because it's like a kickoff. You know what I mean? It's like
it's
like the kickoff of a great game.
You know, also
season.
Too, Deb.
You can tell it's gonna be football season. I'm like,
it's a lot of fun, and so I'm looking forward to all the different projects that I may be involved in, and the different people
I can't
that
wait.
I meet. And exciting.
That's so awesome!
I have a wonderful group of friends and people that are friends with me on Facebook from all over the world, and I appreciate it. And again, thank you again for asking me to be on your show. It's
you know what? I love it. Anytime. It's always, you're always amazing to listen to and
thank
inspiring.
You.
You're just very inspiring, Alex. And thank you. I hope you like the poster I made you.
I love the poster.
I had fun with that.
I saved it.
Oh, good.
I saved it.
It's awesome.
A lot of nice pictures. It came out nice. I love it.
It's not hard. You're a handsome man, and it is easy to find a good picture of you. But ones that I think that you will like.
Well,
I am
good ones.
So happy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, we had fun.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
this was a blast. It's always a blast.
You're awesome. Anyways, you know, I care for you. All right, everybody.
I know.
this is our show tonight. We will see you again on Sunday. I want to thank everybody for listening. And is there anything else you'd like to say before we go out?
Yes, you asked me who has inspired me the most. I have to say it was my mother.
I love that.
My mother inspired me. And to keep working hard and pushing forward and believe in yourself. And that's where I get that from. No actor, no musician. It was close to home. And so that's instilled in me.
That's
what I want like to end it on.
You ended it on that? Exactly. The second. Thank you, Alex.
Okay.
We're all set. All right. We'll talk to you again soon. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye.